You are made for a purpose. I am made for a purpose. Each of us is made for a purpose. Rick Warren, the founding pastor of Saddleback Church in California, tells us in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that even before the universe was created, God had you in mind and he planned you for his purposes. Writing in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells the early Christians in verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Specifically, Peter here is comparing the early Christians to those who deny belief in Jesus as the Messiah. In verse 7, he references the stone the builders rejected, Jesus, has become the capstone. So he's drawing a stark distinction between those who disobey the message of Jesus as Messiah and those who choose to follow that message. We have here with us this morning a group who is an example of servants called for the purpose of sharing Christ's light, as Peter described. Acolytes that help out in our traditional worship services. They bring the light of Christ into the service, and at the end of each service, they take the light out into the world. So if you are an acolyte here this morning that's currently serving, are soon to begin serving as we kick off a new season, or have served as an acolyte here at Mandarin in the past, would you please stand up? All right, let's give our thanks to these folks. Thank you for your service as part of the royal priesthood, as Peter described. So before we can consider what a royal priesthood is, I think it's important that we understand better the Old Testament concept of priesthood. You're probably aware that in the Old Testament, people did not approach God directly. A priest acted as the intermediary between God and sinful humans. In the temple, there was an inner area where the priest could go, and inside that, even a more sacred area called the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest, the designated high priest, could enter this Holy of Holies one time a year on the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. So we were not able to approach God directly in under those Old Testament times. We know that with Christ's victory on the cross, this paradigm shifted. Jesus, through his sacrificial death and resurrection, is the great high priest. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 tells us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So exactly what is a priest? The first image that may jump to our mind is the leader of a Catholic congregation with his collar and serving that. But it goes beyond that. A priest functions as God's representative in the world, telling people about God's word and shedding light on God's will in people's lives, or our purpose. A priest pronounces God's word of forgiveness and healing grace. A priest acts as the people's representative to God, essentially by interceding for the people, going to God for their sake, and offering sacrifices of love on their behalf. Essentially, a priest is anyone who has experienced the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of God, and who helps others experience grace as well. Here at Mandarin, we are blessed with 5 pastors. And how often do we go to them to serve in this role of priest? If you're in need of prayer, you're going to reach out to a pastor. If you need comforting, the pastors are there for you. They do a terrific job of sharing the word of God, offering intercessory prayers for us when we're in need, and helping us to experience grace. But they're not always able to be present in every need. Let's refer back to Hebrews 4:16. It tells us, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of Jesus, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Each of us can approach the throne without an intermediary. Each of us are called to the role of priest. This concept is often called the priesthood of all believers. Please join me in a brief prayer. Merciful God, be present with us today so that we can all comprehend our purpose as a royal priesthood, created and called by you to declare your praises in a world of darkness to bring light to all. Amen. The book of 1 Peter, which is what our scripture reading was from this morning, was written primarily to offer encouragement to suffering Christians in the early church. Now, a year and a half ago, when I began my term as lay leader, I'm about halfway through a three-year term, I met with Pastor Debbie and asked exactly what is a lay leader and what do they do. And so she described the various functions and roles that the lay leader is expected to fill, what committee meetings you would attend, what other things you'd be involved in, including an annual laity Sunday. And what most resonated with me from our discussion was when she summarized the call of the lay leader in saying that primarily my objective should be to be an encourager to the members and visitors of this church. So I can relate with the book of 1 Peter here this morning as he writes with encouragement to the early Christians. As lay leader, I've been in a unique position to see a lot of the work going on in this church that frankly I wouldn't have been able to see without being in that role. It's been a privilege to do that, and had I not been in that role, many of the great works that have been done would be unknown to me. Matthew 6, 3, and 4 tells us, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." I'm going to share with you this morning some examples of our members acting as a part of this royal priesthood. And they didn't do it for recognition. They didn't do it so that someone would say, "Wow, look how great they are." In fact, they didn't even know that one day these acts of service might be described here from the pulpit. But I'm breaking the secret this morning and sharing some of those with you. As Jesus was spending his final time with the disciples before he ascended into heaven, the last thing he said to them was that they were to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What he meant by this was start local. Start where you have relationships built and where you have opportunities for influence and witness, and then take it further out. So what we take of that for our purposes today is that we as priests should start with our immediate family. Then we can take it broader to our church family, and then even broader to the community at large. This ever-expanding impact allows us to be priests in this world, and we're going to hear some examples of each of those family, church family, and broader community this morning. A good friend of mine and his wife were out to dinner earlier this summer and had enjoyed a Friday evening dinner, had nothing planned afterwards, so we're ready for a leisurely evening. As they were leaving dinner, they received a phone call from one of their adult sons with some tragic news. A beloved family pet had been struck by a car and passed away. And this happened in front of the children. So my friend knew that while his adult son was perfectly capable of handling that he needed to be there with his family to provide comfort in their time of need. So they abandoned their plans for whatever was next and immediately went to help and be with the family. He offered comfort to the grandkids, giving them a shoulder to cry on. He helped his son find a proper burial spot for the cat in the backyard. He battled an underground root system that he didn't anticipate and found that his shovel was not getting the job done. So he hurried to Home Depot, got another shovel, came back, finished the job, prepared the burial spot, and lovingly laid the cat to rest, sweating through his shirt the whole time. After that, he presided over a memorial service for the cat, allowing the kids to remember the special times that they had and knowing that they would have cherished memories of their time with their special beloved pet. So my friend and his wife dropped their plans for whatever they had next because he knew his calling in that moment was to be there for his family in their time of need. This is a terrific example of helping others experience grace. As we look at examples within our church family, we know that last October was a very trying time for our church family. During the midst of the worry and sorrow, however, there were several powerful examples of the priesthood of believers. Late in the month, last October, on a Thursday, Seth Seidner, a senior at the time and one of the leaders of our 110 youth group, was admitted to the intensive care unit with unexplained seizures. His prognosis wasn't good, and even through Friday, the medical staff was unable to explain what was causing these seizures. A prayer rally was quickly assembled for right here in the sanctuary that Friday night. A steady stream of youth and adults came forward to pray for Seth, to speak about the impact that Seth had on their life, and basically just to honor him by speaking for and praying for him, providing encouragement to the others who were here and were worried about his well-being. Now, I want you to know, during that prayer rally, Seth's prognosis changed. The doctors couldn't explain it. They didn't know, but we know as Christians that it was the power of intercessory prayer that was an important factor in his recovery. And as you may well know, he is fully recovered and is now off to college and doing terrific. Later that evening, we learned that Sean Sorensen, a beloved sophomore in the youth group with a servant's heart and an ever-present smile, had taken his own life. I happened to be working in the pumpkin patch that evening as the news began to spread. And I saw youth and adults coming together, leaning on each other, crying on each other's shoulders, providing comfort in the midst of this tragic news. Now, of course, our pastors and youth directors immediately went to be with the Sorensen family, just to let them know that they were loved and that they had support during an unimaginably difficult time. So the kids from the youth group needed support as well. Weren't sure where to turn, so they began to assemble in various places, and one group happened to be at my house. It was a group of young ladies and a mixture of middle school, high school girls that were at our house. We brought in some snacks and made it as comfortable of an environment as we could be. In the midst of great tragedy and sadness, I observed this royal priesthood as some of the older girls shared the light of Christ with the others during a very dark time. In particular, I watched as one of our high school girls spoke on the phone with Sean's girlfriend just moments after Sean's girlfriend was made aware of the news. Her witness and testimony and love in that fragile moment was overpowering, overwhelming, and it was amazing to see. She rose to the occasion and truly was a priest in that moment, sharing the power of Christ's love. That Sunday morning, as you can imagine, was a difficult time as we gathered here at church, particularly for our youth as they gathered in the Sunday school hour. Pastor Debbie wanted to make sure that they were getting the care that they needed. So after she completed her responsibilities at the 9:45 service, she headed upstairs. Upon her arrival, she found that a member of our church, who is a licensed mental health counselor, had volunteered to address the group and was there at that time, just letting them talk about how they feel, letting them know what they may experience in the stages of their grief and how they might be able to make it through that and being available for any questions that they have. He felt called in that moment to use his professional experience to share with a hurting group. In that moment, he was indeed a priest, functioning as God's representative in this world, in this church community. As we talk about reaching out into the community, many of you are familiar with the fresh expressions that we have done here at the church. You're probably aware of Kayaking with Jeff and Beer and Hymns. Those are a couple of the more well-known fresh expressions that we have. There is another fresh expression that is lesser known, I contend, because it occurred at 6:20 a.m. on a Thursday morning every week, and we're just not all attuned to being up at that time, right? But a group from our church, the bus stop ministry team, would gather every Thursday morning early at the Marbon bus stop down here to take Christ into the world. That's the purpose of Fresh Expressions. There's a lot of people who won't come to church due to their experience, their background, whatever had happened in their life experience that make them uncomfortable coming onto a church campus. A Fresh Expression is intended to reach out to them, taking the church into the community. So our bus stop ministry team that consisted of a pastor, some church staff, and lay members would do this faithfully every Thursday morning. Over the course of this ministry, the team built relationships with regular riders, overcoming some initial apprehension, right? Who are you and why are you here wanting to talk to me this early? But they kept at it and made relationships, built friendships, prayed for the express needs of these new friends, and were even on occasion able to provide assistance to some homeless people and others who were in need. A great example of taking Christ out into the community and taking the love of our church out in the community. Along the way, this bus stop ministry team strengthen their relationship with each other so they're a powerful force for whatever comes next and whatever they feel called to do next. These are just a few of the countless examples of members of our church serving as they are called, as part of the priesthood of all believers. The opportunities are all around us. So I ask you, where are you being called to live out the purpose that you were made for? How can you help others experience grace? Who can you intercede for through prayer and support? I encourage you to find that opportunity. I encourage you to be like Donnie Barker, who's going to deliver our children's message shortly, who cared for his family when a beloved pet passed away. I encourage you to be like my daughter Brooke Davis and her friend Faith Olson, who will be singing for us later, who rose up to comfort other members of the youth group when tragedy struck. I encourage you to be like Stephen Montesinos, who delivered the call to worship this morning, recognizing where your unique talents can be used for the greater good. He addressed the youth on the Sunday after Sean's passing. I encourage you to be like Sydney Behrens, sharing the light of Christ in the world through humble acts of service, such as the bus stop ministry. May God bless you as you seek the purpose for which each of you are made. Thank you.